Friday's here. Time for Coastal Windage, the talk of the coast, with your host, Ruben Truthmaker.
You can't handle the truth!
And the other dude.
Man, I've got certain information.
The phones are lighting up, and you guys are live.
Good morning, Coastsiders. It's Friday, February 9, 2018. Hey, you know what? Put out that candle you've been burning at both ends and kick up your feet. It's time for some coastal windage. I'm your co-host, Ruben Truthmaker, and with me, as always, is the other dude.
Good morning.
Good morning, other dude. You're looking quite chipper this morning.
Well, thank you very much. You're looking normal.
You're too kind. I saw that pause there. I know what you were thinking, and yet it came out as a very nice thing, so thank you.
Well, my understanding is you were up all night working on some news stories.
Oh yeah. I mean, the night before a show, I hardly sleep. You know, this is all research, highly specific, and there's even some science thrown in, as we'll find out later
science.
In this episode. Yeah. Well, this is Coastal Windage, the talk of the coast, the Coastside's only live call-in talk radio show, every Friday from 9 to 10 a.m. here on KHMB Community Radio. Now, every week we talk about Coastside issues and other hot topics. Check out podcasts of our past shows and stream the show live from khmbradio.com. This is the Coastside's community voice. So let's hear from you, Coastsiders. Again, this is call-in talk radio. That number, put it in your speed dial, magic marker across your forehead, whatever you need to do, 650-560-9851. That's 560-9851. That's the live call-in number. Let's hear from you, Coastsiders. All right, here's our topics for today. And we always have some timely and local topics. And this one is near and dear to both of our hearts. Hop Dogma is moving on over.
And they're closed right now.
Yeah.
Because I went in there this morning to try to get my breakfast beer, and it was closed, and I panicked a little bit.
Yeah.
After I got done crying, I read the thing that says they're moving to a new locale, right?
Yeah, they've been shut down since January 31st, and they are moving from their location over to the harbor. And the question that we're going to ask Coastsiders and want Coastsiders to let us know about, will its patrons follow them across the highway? And what now for the El Granada Village Center without the local
anchor?
Yeah, exactly. And Coastsiders, weigh in on this. What would go great as a replacement there? What would you like to see in the little village center there in El Granada? Yeah. So we'll be talking about that topic. And now, I know everybody's been waiting. Buckle in. It's the Sam Force Main Replacement Project.
So what is up with that thing?
I know. I lost half the viewers just with the title right there. I think before I even got to main replacement, a couple of people had fallen asleep. It's the new poop line. It's the poop line.
Right.
And there's a new poop line in town. Maybe you've seen it stretched out along Highway 1 in El Granada and Miramar on the east side of the highway.
Yeah.
There. Yep. So we're going to flesh out the details on that.
Oh, man. That's what kept you up all night, working on that one joke.
I did. You know, okay. You should have seen, like, there's paper all over the floor of my office, you know. But I got it.
Yeah.
I nailed it. Okay. And speaking of which, and so we can transition to our next topic. Why? Bidets?
I'm sorry.
Right.
This is a serious topic. Bidets.
Is it? Futuristic Euro hipster hygiene or just a splash of cold water?
I'm going with splash of cold water.
Oof. Okay. Well, so so we've got related topics today. All right? So great. And we're going to get right down there in the gutter.
Okay.
We're going to take the sewer line right into the gutter. Okay. News and notes. So last week on our show, we talked about that the U.S. representative for our district, Jackie Speer, came to town here, even though we only have about 14,000 or so registered voters out of 350,000 in her district. She came here for an event called DACA Diaries. And Jackie was there. I went and actually checked it out beforehand. Jackie was there. She was sitting there, and she had three dreamers with her, including Ricardo Buzo, who works as a youth coordinator at the Half Moon Bay Library. And so, yeah, about 200 people turned out. So it was quite an event.
That is a good crowd.
And listen to the podcast of our show from last week for more. You can get our podcast again by going to khmbradio.com and clicking the show podcast tab. So we did talk about that last week. It's pretty interesting. Then we also talked about, I believe it was, our December 29th, 2017 show. We talked about the homeless situation here on the coast. Well, yesterday, city and county officials, along with service workers and homeless advocates, set up a workstation area behind the Safeway in Strawflower Village.
Mm-hmm.
There used to be a recycling area there, and now it's kind of the entryway for the homeless community in the creek back there.
Uh-huh.
The city is evicting everyone from that encampment in the creek, by the way, next month. So they're kind of getting ready for that. So anyways, they brought in some mobile showers and washing machines and offered showers, food, laundry, and outreach to the homeless population that lives in the creek back there.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's all good. But, as we talked about on the show on December 29th, without a facility here locally that offers overnight beds, and we're not saying necessarily a permanent housing. Some of the homeless people don't want that. But, on a cold February night when it's raining, I'm sure a lot of folks would like to be able to come inside.
Right.
And safety reasons, too. So without beds, a facility with beds, the homeless population is simply going to move to a new outdoor location. Or they'll be evicted, and then in a month or so, they'll come back to the creek area.
I would tend to agree with that.
All right. So the homeless situation seems like an intractable problem, but, listen to the show from December 29th. We had some great ideas. Other people had some thoughts, too.
Yeah.
All right. This Saturday. So do you know that we have a local professional comedy improv troupe here on the coastside?
I did know that.
Right. Blue Blanket Improv. I'm actually an alumnus of Blue Blanket Improv. I was with them for 5 years. A wonderful organization. Mark Samuels is the founder and leader of Blue Blanket Improv. Anyways, they do a lot of shows. They do a lot of benefit shows, and they're a professional troupe, so they charge money for their shows. They do shows all around the Bay Area. I remember one time we went out to Merced and did a show at UC Merced. All of the money from their shows goes to their scholarship foundation for local high school students, and I believe at this point Mark told me he's given away over $10,000 in the last 10 years.
Nice.
So that's really cool. Yeah.
It's a good program.
Anyways, they are going to perform this Saturday at Half Moon Bay High School in a special show with the cast and crew of this year's high school musical, which is The Little Mermaid. They also did this last year. They performed with the cast and crew, and it was very nice. The show starts at 7 p.m. Doors open at 6:30. Now, the cost is $10 for adults, $5 for children, and kids under 12 are free. All proceeds go directly to the high school musical production. And we've got a call. Here we go.
Hello, caller. Who are we talking to?
Good morning. I'm calling from Coastal Recovery at 510-491-3996 to let you know our company is interested in buying tonnage, whether heavy equipment, machinery, forklifts, trucks, and cargo vans, or company vehicles. We also recycle all...
Okay, I think we're going to pass on that.
We just got a advertisement.
All right. Well, that shows that this program has arrived.
Yes, if we're getting those kind of calls, we are here.
I was kind of intrigued, though. What was this about, tonnage?
I don't know.
I just kind of like that word. So, robocall, if you're listening, please call back. I'm interested in your tonnage. Anyways, so check out the show this Saturday at Half Moon Bay High with the cast and crew of the High School Musical and some Blue Blanket Improv, and they've got some new members, so it's going to be a really good show.
So you were with Blue Blanket Improv for 5 years?
Yeah.
And it took you all night long to come up with one joke about the sewer pipe?
Well, other dude, now if you know the nature of improv, you're not allowed to pre...
So you had too much time, that's what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay.
You're not allowed to pre-concoct. So,
okay.
You just have to kind of in the moment and roll with it. And, I was just too good at improv last night. I was just trying, I needed you and Libby there so we could just, rap a little bit. And then it would just come out naturally and, trying to write a joke.
Do not call me at 3 o'clock in the morning to rap.
Okay. Or that will be a rap. All right. Oh, speaking of the high school. So I wanted to mention this. Have you guys ever checked out the high school newspaper, the Paw Print?
I have not. I know that it comes out once a month, right? In the review, I've seen it and maybe read an article two out of it, but never really gone over it with a fine tooth comb.
Well, I'm here to tell you, check it out. That's you're right. That's the Half Moon Bay High School student newspaper. It comes out once a month as an insert in the Half Moon Bay Review.
Right.
It's fantastic. It's got professional, informative stories that are charming, witty, and insightful.
I read the last issue a couple days ago and just really, really enjoyed it, thinking that these are high school kids writing these articles, and they're really spot on, and again, like, full of humor and but also thoughtfulness. So I really, Coastal Windage really wants to give a big hats off to editor Quinn Ebert and advisor Graham Westwood and the rest of the staff. And Coastsiders, look, seek it out. Look for this each month in the Half Moon Bay Review. It's worth reading.
Well, isn't also the review is looking for somebody to maybe take it over? Maybe we have an idea here. We've got a pre-existing journalistic group who seems to have some chops. Maybe there's your answer.
Yeah, and I think the district has money to burn, right?
Oh, sure.
Well, the district buys it, and we'll run it. We'll manage it, because you're still working on your media empire.
I am.
Okay. Well, speaking of media empire, we've got culture correspondent Libby Streetwise with us here this morning. And let's see, the intern just handed me a note card. Says you've got something here, some information about swimming horses. Swimming horses?
Well, not exactly swimming horses, Reuben, but it is an exciting time because the Maverick Swimming Association has started up a water polo program for kiddos age 9 to 13. I think they actually started it up last year,
and my son decided to take part in it this year. And
wait, water polo for kiddos? So I was wrong. It's not horses swimming. It's goat swimming. I'm not following it.
No, you worked on that one last night too, didn't you?
Come on, you guys are pulling the curtain back. These are off the cuff, brilliant jokes.
All right, good work. It is Friday. We'll give you that. And then just briefly tying this athletic comment in with some Olympic news, I have a few golden nuggets to share. As you know, well, actually, maybe you don't know, other dude. Do you know where the Olympics are this year? Have an idea?
On TV?
On TV. I think is it NBC? No, I know this. It's South Korea.
Yes, it is. Ding, 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 ding. Excellent work. Yeah, they have started up competition actually yesterday. Opening ceremonies are tonight. So that's going to be exciting. They are about $200 million in debt right now. And 1,000 security guards have been replaced with military personnel due to a norovirus outbreak. What do you think about that?
I think that sounds like a conspiracy plot over there or something. It sounds a little weird, but...
Well, between that and curling starting last night, you should be good to go. And for all the texts that you send out, other dude, there is now a curling emoji that you can add to all of your smiley faces with heart eyes and
yes,
all of that.
And so, my unicorns that I often tack onto my texts.
Yeah.
I've been waiting for the curling emoji.
And one last tidbit. Did you know that the uniforms, the ceremony uniforms this year, actually have wearable technology that has innovative heat technology incorporated in the design of the parka?
So
you might see someone spontaneously burst into flames at the opening ceremony tonight. So keep an eye out.
I would think that the Winter Olympic athletes would be a little bit hardier and could handle the cold weather, but maybe not.
Well, I'll be working with you next Friday, other dude, and I'm looking for a style update on these opening ceremonies to see what you thought about those heating suits.
Okay.
All right. Sound good?
All right.
Well, thank you, guys. Have a good weekend.
You too.
Thanks, Libby. You know, those heating suits bring a whole new connotation to the term torch lighting for the for the Olympics, you know? Yeah, just send Ralph up there. He's wearing his jacket. No, he doesn't need a torch. He's just going to go right up there. He'll be fine. Okay. Well, it looks like we're already at our first break. Again, I wish other parts of my life would go as fast as our Coastal Windage time goes. You know, kind of when I'm waiting in line somewhere or I'm
stuck in
traffic. Yeah, I'm trying to get out of 92 on, say, a Friday morning when there's a big rig crash. I wish that time would go that fast. Anyways, all right, let's take our first break. We'll be back in 3 minutes. Coastsiders, we're going to talk about what you would like to have replace Hop Dogma in El Granada. And if you're going to follow them across the highway to the mall there in Princeton, give us a call, 560-9851. We'll be back in 3 minutes.
How are you coming with your New Year's resolutions? This is Ed Daniels of the law firm Corey Luzage DiGataldi Nastari and Riddle. For many people, doing something about their estate planning is one of those things that has been on their to-do list for years. Folks offer a variety of excuses for not doing or updating their estate plans. Some say they are too busy, some are concerned about the expense, others don't want to think about their own mortality. Unfortunately, I can tell you with a high degree of confidence that none of us will live forever, and the consequences of not having an estate plan can be very expensive for one's family. Having a professionally prepared estate plan is a sound investment, usually does not require a lot of one's time, and can be surprisingly affordable. I invite you to call my office for a no-obligation meeting to discuss your estate planning goals and options. You can reach me at 726-7578.
Hey guys, it's crunch time. Valentine's Day is, you know, you have to do something for your special lady. Well, you know what they say, diamonds are a girl's best friend. And for Valentine's Day, Goldworks is your best friend. If you're looking for a true gift from the heart, there is nothing more meaningful than creating a unique piece of custom jewelry. And fellas, you can make her purr without having to sell the farm. Their prices are internet competitive. And if you want the best prices on the best stones, ethically and expertly sourced, Goldworks is the right place for you. The Goldworks is located at 542 Main Street, downtown Half Moon Bay. Their phone number is 726-2546. That's 726-2546. They have an informative and attractive website at goldworkshmb.com. Here's to a Valentine's Day you will both remember.
All right, other dude, let's get into something that's near and dear to our heart. Hop Dogma. Now this is the brewery and tasting room that was formerly run out of the Liberty Building in El Granada.
Yes.
Yeah. It's been there since 2013, and really it has kind of filled a niche in El Granada of like this little local watering hole where people meet. How many times have you met someone at Hop Dogma or said, yeah, I wanted to see you. Let's have a talk. How about Hop Dogma?
Right. Yeah, several.
Many times. Yeah. We've met. You and I have met there many times. Yeah. I mean, just a couple of times.
Right. You know?
Yeah, just right.
For just one beverage.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So Hop Dogma used to be in what's called the Liberty Building, that big three-story kind of
Victorian,
yeah, kind of greenish building there, and that is what's that is located in what's known as the El Granada Village Center, or ironically, some locals will call it downtown El Granada. Yeah. Now, zoning in that area includes institutional, open space, neighborhood commercial, and high-density residential. And it's kind of a hub. I mean, we kind of tongue in cheek say it's downtown El Granada, but there's Hop Dogma used to be there, but there's
right.
also El Granada Hardware Store, which by the way has the best sandwiches on the coast side, in my opinion. No, San Benito House is right there too, but man, the El Granada Hardware Store, I love getting a sandwich.
They have
there.
Good sandwiches, yeah, good yeah. coffee, and you check your mail, get a cup of coffee. It is the hub of El Granada.
Yeah, I mean, they got a nice little lounge that they set up in there with some seats.
Yep.
It's a good place. El Granada Hardware Store. Then the post office is there. The fire station's there. And the Bev liquor store is there.
There's a nice little printing shop right in that area.
Yeah. Can we still say liquor show store? I mean, that seems like one of those things in this day and age where liquor store, that, you know, that was the 7-Eleven. Yeah, that's what you called 7-Eleven back in the day. Now it's a convenience store or it's, you know, something else. Has that passed beyond now? We can't.
Well,
say
I think
store?
If it only sells liquor yeah. and maybe some pork rind snacks, you can call it a liquor store. But they sell a little bit more than just liquor. So
yeah. Oh yeah. The Bev. No, the Bev is a favorite of children and adults, and
yes.
has been for a long time.
Right.
So Hop Dogma is moving over to Suite 22 at the Shops at Harbor Village. This suite was formerly known as the Sandbar et al. I think there's been at least two or three restaurant-y, bar-y type of establishments in that particular location.
Right.
In fact, I performed there with Blue Blanket Improv a couple of times. I think for a year, that was our home base.
Okay.
So it's got some good...
But they didn't work out. They eventually disappeared.
Yeah, I mean, again, kind of what we were talking about with restaurants with Sweetport, the new Japanese fish market in the harbor, is... Okay, Saturday, Friday, weekend, summer, fine. But what are you going to do on a Tuesday night in February when it's raining and it's, you know, 9 o'clock at night and you got rent to pay on a restaurant or a bar?
Right.
So that's a tough one. Now, of course, we're wishing good luck for Hop Dogma. I mean,
of course.
I think they have a very robust thread on Nextdoor indicates that they have a loyal following that it's likely to follow them across the highway.
I think they have a loyal local following, mm-hmm. and they also have a lot of tourism drinkers, for yeah. lack of a better word. People come down from the city or up the coast or across the bay or whatever, and if you stop in there and you have a beer, you might be talking to people from a couple hours away have come over to try out the beer and see the scenery.
Yeah, and you know the new place has a lot going for it in the sense of they're probably going to get more walk-up traffic than they ever did. You know, people that don't know about it. Hey, we're looking for a place to get a beer. Oh yeah, there's a place over in the mall. You know, if you're at the harbor or something.
Right.
There's more room in the spot they're going to be in.
That was my next question. Yeah. Are they going to have more seating? And
definitely.
Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah.
There's better parking over there. You know,
true.
You've got the whole mall parking lot. There's several food joints within walking distance
yep.
at the harbor, and also there's a couple in the mall.
So it could turn out to be beneficial for them.
Yeah, but it's that venue, the mausoleum, you know? I mean, it's been a graveyard for businesses since it opened in 2006. Okay. Just as an example, the official website for the shops at Harbor Village, which is what that mall is officially called,
mm-hmm.
still lists Flavor, Spicoli, and Sandbar as dining options, and those are long gone. And then even more long, the info page, you know, about the shops at Harbor Village, you know, the splash page, what you want to know about this, still references the wonderful Crab Landing in the octagonal restaurant space. Crab Landing's been gone for...
So that was the original restaurant that went in there when the mall opened.
Yeah.
And they've been gone
probably
for years.
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 Definitely years. I'm not sure exactly how many, but years, multiple. And that's still listed on the splash info page about that. So, you know, to me, I don't know how much the mall is invested in Hop Dogma's success if they can't even keep their own website up to date on
True.
The tenants that are there. But here's the thing. I'm thinking that this could be the keystone business that turns this around for the mall.
It could be.
Yeah, you get a stream of people coming in for Hop Dogma, and then they're looking for food, and then they start walking around. And, you know, this could be the energy boost that the mall needs.
Could be.
So why are they moving?
That's still a mystery, I guess.
Ah, well, indeed. I happened to have a conversation with Dan Littlefield, one of the owners, and he told me that he loved the old spot, but he didn't really have a choice. Something didn't work out with the lease, and so he's got to move.
Okay.
And they are moving. And he vows to make the most of the new space and to make it special. And I believe that Dan and Kyle and the rest of the guys, I think they can do that. You know, what they did creating, you know, Hop Dogma from essentially whole cloth here in El Granada, and now they've got that base to build on and a loyal clientele. I think they're going to do fine in the mall. But, you know, the mall, the thing that would deter me if I was able to be deterred, which, you know, it's
from beer? How
yeah,
could you
exactly.
possibly be deterred?
If I was able to be deterred, it would be that, you know, the mall just, it doesn't really have any soul. And one of the reasons is because there's no view. You're at this amazing harbor on the coast side with the beautiful skyscapes and the mountains behind us. And you can't see any of that because you're in this kind of artificial town main street inside the mall. And the space they're going in has zero windows to look out of. So, you know, that you know, from being at the old place, Hop Dogma, you would sit there and you could, there was that big window that looked right out onto, you know, Surfers Beach and the jetty in the harbor there. That was really part of the charm of Hop Dogma, and that's going to be a challenge for them to get some charm into the new space.
Maybe they could throw some big screens up on the walls with some camera, closed circuit camera views from up on the roof of the building that show us the harbor and the view.
Virtual windows.
Yeah, why not?
I like it. Okay.
Yeah.
But what is this going to do? So with them leaving, what is this going to do to the El Granada Village Center? And not only is Hop Dogma leaving, but I spoke with Kathy Zellner. She's the owner of the beverage.
Beverage and video.
Yeah, liquor and video, which they used to have these things called video cassette tapes. They look like a big rectangle hockey pucks. This
right.
is for millennials. I'm talking to you. It was analog video that you would put into a contraption that attached to your TV, and you could see movies.
Right.
Yeah, no computer involved.
Well, she had upgraded to DVDs.
Oh, she had?
Yes.
She went digital?
Okay. Yes.
Anyways, Kathy is moving out of the area, and she's selling the Bev.
I see.
The beverage, also known as the Bev. She's worked at the Bev for 30 years and has owned it for the last 19 years. She says that this, quote, this place will be here forever. Because I asked her, I'm like, you know, do you think it's possible this place may have to close and now we've lost Hop Dogma and the beverage, two favorites?
Yeah, that wouldn't be good.
No, she says this. She thinks the place will be here forever. That building, that kind of squat cinder block building, was built in the 50s, and she says it's always been some kind of liquor store. So, you know, maybe that will continue. Again, like, to me, that's a key business in that little town center. And I say that because I grew up in a small town, and one of the joys I had as a grade school kid is one of the joys that El Granada kids have with the Bev, which is
yeah.
you get dropped off at the one, you know, the stop sign in town that had a couple businesses around it. And one was the little, in my hometown, it was the Empire Market, a little, you know, corner, little tiny little corner store, mostly a liquor store, but it had a, you know, big candy rack, and
right.
you'd get off the bus and you'd go get some candy or a popsicle. And I know that that's what kids from Wilkinson and El Granada Elementary, I see them every day
yep.
Streaming home, and it's a real treat to get to go into the Bev and get a popsicle.
Yeah, my kid hits me two or three times a week after school to try to stop in there and get some sort of a treat. So it's a local institution.
Yeah. So hopefully, the business is for sale, not the building. So what Kathy is selling is the business and the liquor license.
Right.
Okay. All right, so that's available.
Did she say whether she had some interest? She seems to think it's going to continue on, so that, I guess, would indicate to me that she thinks there will be some interest in the place?
Yeah, she said there's a couple of people have been interested, but it is a viable business in that it does make money. But she said it needs to be a second income vehicle.
Mm.
You know, you're not going to be able to pay your bills with that as your primary income.
Right.
So, you know, maybe a spouse that wants to run a shop. And that person's spouse has a job. It would work something like that.
Cool.
And Kathy seemed to think that the departure of Hop Dogma would not really have that much of an impact, because, as she said, there wasn't really anything before they came there, which I agree with. But for the last 5 years, there has been something there, and people have gotten used to it. And I think it's going to be missed in its location.
I think it will be missed, but I also think it was I know in recent months or the last year or so, I think that Hop Dogma had increased the hours they were open, but at the same time, they are a sort of limited access kind of a business that was in there. Maybe something that goes in there if they have daytime business would be not a better fit, but a good fit for that location.
And what would that be?
Well, I'm not sure what kind of business it would be, but just something that's open during the day when the other established businesses around there are open as well. I'm not sure.
Well, Coastsiders, this is your chance to get in on this action. 560-9851. What you heard the other dude talking about, you know, we need a business to replace it that's kind of maybe open during the day. What is that business, Coastsiders? I want to hear Coastsiders feel about this question too, which is, with the departure of Hop Dogma, is this an opportunity for the El Granada Village Center, or is this the death knell for the El Granada Village Center. So let's go to a commercial break. And when we come back, let's see if we get some calls on this. And if not, we'll move on to the poop line.
All right.
Okay. We'll be back in 3 minutes.
Applications are now available for the spring session of Half Moon Bay's annual community engagement program known as NET. NET consists of four sessions providing an overview of the management and governance of Half Moon Bay and its programs. It's a great opportunity to get an insider's view of the city. Objectives of NET are to involve and engage people in learning about and understanding the operation of city government and to improve communication between the city and those who live and work here. The program is free, but space is limited, so apply now. The deadline to submit an application is 5 p.m. February 26th. Applications available at City Hall or by calling 726-8281 or online at hmbcity.com/net.
Senior Coastsiders is celebrating 40 years of serving seniors on the San Mateo Coast, from Montera to Pescadero. To continue serving our senior community for 40 more years, we must prepare for the future. There will be twice as many seniors living on the coast in a little over a decade, and our current revenue sources cannot meet this expanding demand. So how can you help? Shop at our thrift store. Every dollar you spend supports Senior Coastsiders. Make a tax-deductible donation online at seniorcoastsiders.org. Consider including us in your estate. Or volunteer. You'll meet a fabulous group of people and provide services that help to reduce our expenses. Whatever choice you make, you'll be helping Senior Coastsiders serve our community for 40 more years.
And we're back. Ruben Truthmaker here with the other dude. This is Coastal Windage, the talk of the coast. The Coastside's only live call-in talk radio show every Friday from 9 to 10 here on KHMB Community Radio. 100.9 FM, 1710 AM, and streaming live on KHMBradio.com. We were talking about Hop Dogma leaving. We were talking about the El Granada Village Center. Is this an opportunity? It could be. I mean, let's talk about what's happening there. There's a new apartment building going up with at least 12 units right there on Avenue Portola, and two triplexes also coming online on Avenue Portola.
Right.
So there's going to be...
And then a block away, there's another set of apartments that are under construction right now. So there's going to be an increase in traffic down there.
Yeah, a greater density right there around that. The new fire station is going in within a couple of years. There's been talk of a community center building in the vacant lot next to the post office. The old fire station will be vacant. Now, here's what I'm thinking. Hop Dogma, just go there until they build the new fire station and then come back to the old fire station. Wouldn't that be kind of cool, like kind of an industrial, and they'd have room for the tanks, their brewery tanks.
Right.
They could kind of have a fire station theme almost.
I mean,
it would be kind of cool, I think. Anyway, so that space is going to be vacant. And with Spangler's India Beach and the new wood-fired pizza joint going in at the Creekside Smokehouse, I think it's called Panifico.
When's that opening?
Yeah, I think he's making pizzas right now. He makes them out of the back. He's got that truck. He makes them out of the back. That's where the pizza oven is. It's the back of his truck. So, yeah, he's fixing up the smokehouse right now.
How did I miss out on that? Because I can usually smell a pizza from like 50 miles out.
Well, you know, other dude, you should listen to this live call-in talk radio show every Friday. It's called Coastal Windage. They talk about coastal stuff, you know. You can learn a few things.
Is that a new thing going on?
It's been around for a few months, yeah. Check it out sometime. Anyway, so it seems like there's almost a critical mass of stuff here. We just need that one, like you were saying, what could come in to where Hop Dogma was and just tie all this together?
Yeah.
Coastsiders, we want to hear. 560-9851. Let's hear your ideas for the Village Center here. So it seems like there's possibilities, but here's the thing. The heart of every quaint little burg is a cozy watering hole that one can walk to and meet up with friends and have a delicious beer while watching the sunset. Am I wrong?
No, that's totally right.
Right. And that's what Hop Dogma was in the Liberty Building. And, you know, maybe something else will come to replace it there like that. Otherwise, other dude, we're just going to have to lock arms and cross the highway and go over to the mall.
I'm game. I'm ready to travel.
Okay, well, we're going to move on to the poop line, but if anybody wants to talk about the El Granada Village Center or Hop Dogma or their favorite beer or pretty much anything, give us a call. 650 is the area code in case you're calling from outside of the Coastside area, which I know we have many listeners. And then the rest of the number is 560-9851. You could also send us an email at coastalwindage@gmail.com. Several of our listeners have sent us emails over the weeks.
Yep.
All right, so SAM Force Main Replacement Project. Again, this is a big, long, fancy term for they're replacing the sewer line.
Okay.
Essentially. Oh, and we've got a phone call. Great. Let's go to the phones.
Go ahead. Who are we talking to?
Fran.
Hi, Fran.
Hi. And I'm thinking ice cream parlor.
Oh,
for the kids to hang out.
Oh, Fran, you nailed it.
You hit me where I live. Pizza on a block down from an ice cream place. That is awesome. That's a good idea.
Yeah, we're for kids to hang out. A jukebox like we had in the old days. And other stuff besides ice cream. So maybe, you know, goodies to eat.
Just sort of the old soda fountain kind of a thing.
Yeah. They have that counter bar there in the room there at where Hop Dogma used to be. Fran, how long have you been sitting on this idea? I mean,
I thought of that years ago. That would be fun to have on the beach, but we can't do anything on the beach, so this might be the next best spot.
Oh, my God. Fran, I mean, if anybody's listening, this is Fran's idea. We'll be able to contact her if you want to go forward with it, but you ought to give her some props or some buy into your business if you start an ice cream parlor there, because that is a brilliant idea. You could have all those people that are going to be over at Surfers Beach. They could come across and get an ice cream. Okay, Fran. And would you, and so I'm guessing that you would welcome that, that additional traffic there and around the post office.
Well, that I don't know about, but.
Right. There's always a downside.
They can walk over.
Yeah.
Okay. Great. Anything else that you want to talk about, Fran? Coastside topics?
No, I find this program very interesting, and I love the music all day long.
Yes, we've heard many people tell us that you know, the KHMB is community radio, and part of it is that kind of that old-timey feeling, songs that maybe you don't get to hear that often, songs that bring back memories,
right.
Songs that make you feel good, right? Because that's what our Coastside, that's what we want from our communities, feel good. Well, Fran, thank you so much for listening, and thanks for the call. And really, Fran, you nailed it. I mean, we could take 10 callers. I don't think we'd have a better suggestion than that. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Okay,
bye.
Talk to you soon. All right, that was Fran and her idea for the Hop Dogma space, an ice cream parlor. Ah, that just...
She hit
spot
it.
On.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, we're going to continue. Kind of a weird transition, but back to the poop line. But again, anybody that wants to call with, if you can top Fran's idea, we want to hear it. And I bet you can, although it's going to be tough. 560-9851. Let's hear what you have to say on what could go into the El Granada Village Center to replace Hop Dogma. So we're getting back to the Force Main Replacement Project.
So, this sewer line thing. This has been going on over there for months and months.
Oh, it's deeper than that. I mean,
it seems like a bit of a debacle, but I guess they're making progress.
Well, this is a kind of thing of it's hard to even sort out, even know where to start on this thing. Okay, let's just start with this. SAM, what is SAM? SAM, it's not the Chowder House. It's not their fault.
Right.
This is not the poop line from their bathroom down to the water treatment plant. No, this SAM is Sewer Authority Mid-Coastside. It's an agency that provides wastewater treatment services and wastewater collection services for the coastside.
Okay.
But it comprises three kind of member entities. And these member entities include Montara Water and Sanitary District, Granada Community Services District, and City of Half Moon Bay. So three different kind of sanitary districts. And shocker, they all have different agendas and motivations, and they all have their own distinct and separate district of ratepayers. And so guess what? They all kind of have a different vision of what they want to pay for, what they want to do, and what their priorities are. And this has been a real kind of... spider web for the last 20 to 25 years here on the coastside. And
while the old sewer line was leaking raw sewage into different areas along its route.
Exactly. So I don't want to get into the whole history of the conflicts between the member organizations that make up SAM and the legal wrangling they've had, but suffice it to say that events in the last year, including at least six sewage leaks, and some legal wrangling, some threats of lawsuits against the agencies threatening to sue each other, shows the decades-long strain of this relationship, of this complicated bureaucracy. So I don't want to get into the whole history of that, but what we did want to mention is that the Force Main Line, which is the part of the intertie pipeline system throughout the Mid-Coast, is currently being replaced. And that is the lines of pipe you might have noticed along Highway 1 through Miramar.
Yes.
And they seem like they've been there for a long time, and I drive by there several times a day.
Right.
And it's really been hard to track the progress of this project. It seems like they dug the trench, and now those pipes have been laying there for a long time.
But they started with doing away with the old sewer line and putting the white plastic line above ground for, it was for months. Then they started digging trench and putting in the permanent line, I guess. Then we had weather issues. And they rushed back in there like 2 days after all of that rain, and they found out what I think anybody should know is it was a quagmire over there, and all they did was make a big mess, and then they seemed to disappear for an extended period of time. But then yesterday and maybe the day before, I saw they were back over there sort of in force, right?
Yeah, I...
It doesn't seem like it's going smoothly.
Well, I think that longtime Coastsiders would say, right, I mean, that's Sam. I mean, that's Sam and
so that's normal.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's Sam is one of, I try to follow things that go on the coast side, and Sam is one of those things that's just always a bit of a head scratcher for me. So yeah, they're replacing this sewer line because they hadn't replaced it for a long time. In fact, there's one section of about 7,100 feet that goes from the Coronado stoplight in El Granada down to essentially across the street from the barn. There,
right, the restaurant there, yeah. Burger Barn.
Yep.
Yeah.
That 7,100-foot stretch of pipe is really the main problem where all the leaks were in the past year, including a 746,000-gallon spill of raw sewage in that section right at there at Magellan Avenue in Miramar, which, by the way, that happened in February of 2017, and the public didn't even find out about it. It wasn't announced or told to the media or anybody until May. So we don't really know how bad the problem really is.
Well, I do know that I was vaguely aware there was some problem over there because a certain member of my family who sometimes rides with me to Half Moon Bay and stuff made numerous comments about, what is that odor? So there was something going on, yeah.
So the first couple times you took it personally and then you realized maybe she was talking about something outside.
Exactly.
The car, okay.
I found out that showering was not helping.
Right.
There was still a bad smell down there.
It's not me. So yeah, that section of pipeline was built in the 80s. Sam authorized a $2 million contract with Bay Pacific Pipelines of Novato to replace that 7,100 feet of pipe. So that old pipe was ductile iron pipe. I don't know what ductile means, but I know what iron means, and that usually means rust.
It does.
And corrosion and
breakage
and leakage.
Right.
Now they're replacing it. I was thinking it was PVC, but it's polyethylene. I don't know. Wasn't that a Beatles song? Polyethylene Pam? Something like that?
It could have been.
Yeah, I think something like that. Anyway, so it's a new polyethylene pipe. Well, that sounds really fancy.
But it's just a big plastic pipe.
I think so. Exactly. But
in its defense, plastic doesn't rot. Plastic doesn't rust. Plastic doesn't, I don't know, get bug infested or anything else. Not that an iron pipe would, but it sounds like it should have a longer lifespan.
Well, I wonder, all of those things true, but I wonder, is the polyethylene as robust against, like, roots? You know, it seems like a metal pipe, roots would have a harder time breaking through.
The problem with those metal pipes, because one of my many previous careers, if you want to call it that, I worked for a plumbing company who did everything from residential up to huge commercial plumbing jobs. And the problem with the metal pipes is that they have joints every so many feet, mm-hmm. and that's where the roots really cause a problem. Those joints get a little loose. Maybe there is a tiny leak. That moisture draws in the plants to try to suck up that moisture. And as we know from around here, there's a lot of root damage to sidewalks and driveways and all that kind of stuff. Once they get a toehold, let's call it,
yep.
they begin to grow and swell, and then they split the joint, and then there's a worse leak. I think with this, what is it called again?
Polyethylene.
Polyethylene. I think the joints are actually fused together.
Oh.
So it may be more resistant to root damage as well.
Okay, great. Here's a funny part of this story. So, I was doing my research at 4:30 in the morning last night, or whenever it was, and so I went to the Half Moon Bay Review, the paper of record, our hometown paper,
yep.
and they had a story about the county moving forward with the mid-coast portion of the parallel trail, which is going to be a bike path that's going to run along the east side of the highway. You've seen parts of it. There's a part that starts at Frenchman's Creek and goes up towards Rocket Farm. They're going to continue that all the way up to the Coronado stop sign.
Great.
So this was an article about the trail, but the picture that accompanied the article showed a piece of this pipeline, the open trench with the pipeline laying over it. And I don't know, it was just kind of a juxtaposition that was kind of funny and didn't make sense. Hopefully the county's not going to build the bike trail right on top of the new sewer line. But you know what? Even if they did, they're not going to replace it for another 35 years or so. So
it won't matter.
Yeah, what does it matter to us, right?
Right.
Okay. All right, well, it's time for another commercial break. Coastsiders, give us a call, 560-9851. When we come back, related to the pipeline, to the poop line, why? Why?
Bidets.
Bidets? I mean...
Well, we're going to find out.
Yeah, Coastsiders, 560-9851. Hit us with your best bidet story. I know there's some good ones out there. We'll be back in 3 minutes. This is
Big
Coastal
Creek
Windage.
Lumber is your local lumber yard that can help you kick off your projects with one convenient stop. They're the lumber yard located behind Hassett Hardware that has been doing business along the North Coast for over 70 years. Before you jump into your spring outdoor home projects, a great way to spice up your house inside are some new molding, trim, or shiplap. These projects are versatile with many different designs and options to pick from. Another advantage is that any indoor project can be done in any weather condition. Visit our Half Moon Bay branch to see baseboard, crown molding, door and window trim. Want to dress up a room? An easy way is to create a shiplap statement wall. Big Creek Lumber has many shiplap options for home installation. For a great lumberyard experience, visit Charlie, Max, Lonnie, and Precy, the best delivery driver in the business, along with the rest of the team at Big Creek Lumber in Half Moon Bay at 111 Main Street. For more information, visit big-creek.com.
Angela.
Yes?
Have I told you lately that I love you?
Jason, you are such a romantic.
Well, it is that special time of year when we need to let those special in our life know we care. Is there anything I can do to show my love for you?
Well, now that you mention it, there is something going bump under the hood of my car.
Oh, Angela. But fixing cars is what I do. Show your special someone how much you care by making sure they are driving a safely maintained car or light truck. Bill's Tire and Auto, with over 30 years of lovingly caring for the cars of the Coastsiders. We are located at 422 Charisma Street, downtown Half Moon Bay. Visit us online, philstirepros.com. Drive safe. See you soon.
Phil's Tire Pros. Installing peace of mind.
And we're back. Coastal Windage, the talk of the coast. All right. We're getting into why bidets. I don't even like the word. The word doesn't even make sense to me. I guess it's a French word, but it looks like bidets. Bidets. Okay, let's sit down on the bidets. So what is a bidet? And I think I've only seen one a couple times in my life, and it was a pretty traumatic the first time I saw it. I was over at a friend's house in high school, and her mom had a big fancy bathroom, and I was just thinking I had to go to the bathroom. What's that thing? Foot washer? A bidet is a toileting fixture for your undercarriage, let's say. Right.
Yes. Yeah. And before I was fully aware of what they were, I thought, what a weird place for a drinking fountain.
Right. So, right. I'm thinking of that
scene. We are not what we would call European, I don't think, are we?
Aren't we?
I don't think I am. They still do some stuff over there that I don't really understand.
I always have a mental picture of that scene from the movie Kingpin where the Amish guy who...
Woody Harrelson?
No, the other... I can't think of the actor's name.
Oh, he's one... Yeah, I know who you're talking
about. Yeah, he... Anyway. He goes into the bathroom and he's using the urinal as a sit down toilet. But I always think like, oh, that's a bidet right there, right? The urinal flushes, and if he's sitting on it, it's gonna essentially do the same thing. That's right. This is Coastal Windage. We take it to the highest levels of the human experience and intellectualism right here. We're talking about why bidets.
So why is this person pushing the bidet for every home in America?
Okay, so you are referring to the article in the New York Times this month about entrepreneur hipster Mickey Agrawal, former CEO of Think's Menstrual Underwear Company, which actually sounds like a pretty good idea to me.
Well, okay, that could be a legitimate thing that could... I get that idea.
Yeah. All right. Well, so she's now... apparently she was forced out of that company. I don't know the details on that, but they parted ways with poor feelings. And so she's now started this new thing. The Tushy is what it's called. And this is a clip-on bidet attachment with a warm water function. So, you know.
Okay.
You've got your warm water going. It's called Tushy.
And she's promoting this because she thinks that the American backside in general is not clean enough. Is that right?
Yeah. So she's of Japanese and Indian parents, and so she has kind of that non-American upbringing or culture in her family, and I believe that bidets were part of her upbringing in her family.
Okay.
But I want to double back for a second. So, a clip-on bidet attachment, I mean, really? But she sold 532 Tushies in under 10 minutes on Home Shopping Network last month. So I think you and I are in the wrong business.
Oh.
We got to get our Tushies and gear and figure something out.
Apparently.
Something to sell on Home Shopping Network.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, one of her points, or one of the points put out in the New York Times article, is that bidets are more hygienic.
Okay. I'm not going to argue that fact.
You're not? Because that doesn't make any sense to me. I mean, what I liken it to is taking a garden hose and just spraying it all over your mess down there. Doesn't it just splash stuff around?
Well, it could, I guess, but you're also once you shower the tushy,
yeah,
I would suppose that like any other shower, you're going to dry it off, and I think maybe the process of some water to help soften things and then something to remove it more easily would in the end be a cleaner process.
Okay. But see, here's where like I'm not buying it. I mean, it's just a sloppy colonic, isn't it?
And if you
need a towel, if you have to towel off afterward, then where's the savings here? Because
it actually sounds like an increase in expense and waste.
And work. I mean, because now it's a two-step process. I mean, one of the arguments is that it would save on toilet paper. Toilet paper is not hygienic. But if you have to towel off afterwards anyways.
Right.
I'm just not
getting it. And plus you're now using however much water it takes to do the process.
Flush yourself out. Right. Now, proponents, and I put this in quotation marks because the New York Times article could not identify anybody besides Mickey Agrawal, the person that invented this or is pushing this. They could not list any specific proponents like the Centers for Disease Control or whatever. So proponents, in air quotes, claim the bidet reduces urinary tract infections by removing bacteria.
Okay,
but it seems like toilet paper removes bacteria too. Again, like I'm just not seeing that. And in fact, there was a link in that New York Times article to a 2010 Japanese study that pretty much found the exact opposite of that claim. I will spare you the microfloral details.
Thank you.
But suffice it to say, and I actually did open up and look at that Japanese study. I didn't look at the actual data collected, but I looked at the summary report. And it sounded very official, and that was that microfloral gets splashed all over the place when you hose it down with water.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's not good.
And my favorite part of the article was they had a quote from Dr. Philip Tierno, a professor of microbiology and pathology at the New York University School of Medicine. I'm sure he was thrilled. You know, he spent all this time in medical school, and he's a professional physician and scientist, and somebody wants to ask him about bidets. Anyway, so they asked him, what's better, bidets or wet wipes? So now we've got a third modality. You've got dry toilet paper, you've got a bidet, and now you've got wet wipes, which would seem to be the combination of the two. And in fact, he says, if you compare the bidet experience with wet wipes, there's no contest. Who do you think wins? Hold on. Coastside, give us a call, 560-9851. Who do you think wins the battle, the bidet or the wet wipes?
Well, I'm going to guess not the general public. It seems like we never win on these things.
Nor the environment with a bunch of wet wipes going down the sewage pipe.
Exactly.
He says there's no contest. The wipes work better.
Well, it's a more directed assault,
let's say.
Hey, you know... Oh, my. Well, we are... We've reached that time. You know, Coastsiders, 560-9851, give us your best... poop, bidet, pun, joke, bring it.
Or is there somebody out there who now currently has a bidet in their home? You don't have to give us your real name or anything, but what's your experience with it? Because I'm going to be completely honest. I'm a little afraid of the things. I've been in a couple locations where they are there, but I've just never had the nerve to try it out. So if somebody has got experience out there, do they feel like it is a legitimate thing that could be helpful? Give us a call and tell us about that.
Please, because, again, I don't get it. And furthermore, not only do I not get it, I'm resolutely unconvinced. Now, however, bidets have their value, which is Google how to use a bidet, and the videos that come back, hilarious. I mean, really ridiculous. And some of these bidet clip-ons and fixtures, there's a bidet shower, and I was reading about that. Like, a bidet shower, which, like, attaches to a toilet. It's not like a shower. It's a toilet, and it has a nozzle, and they likened it to the one you have next to your sink, your kitchen sink, that kind of.
What are you doing with that?
Well, as I was reading it, so you're supposed to spray it and spray out your undercarriage. And then it was saying, so some drawbacks are you could get your clothes all wet. You think? You're spraying a hose now?
Then maybe our market here is a washer and dryer that attaches to the bidet fixture so that we could wash those clothes that get ruined while we try to go to the restroom.
All right. So, you know, I'm always doing my research here. So I checked out the Brondell website, or Brondell, I don't know how you pronounce it. They are a maker of high-end toilet fixtures.
Okay.
Because they had an article titled, The Top 10 Misconceptions About Bidets. Yeah, I know. With a title like that, total clickbait, but what can I say? They got me. Okay, they got me. Top 10 Misconceptions About Bidets. So I read the article, and there were the obvious. Bidets are unsanitary. Bidets are messy.
Right.
But I started to think it might just be some corporate marketing babble, you know, intended to convince me of something that is in their financial interest. When I got to number 9 on the list of top 10 misconceptions, and that is, here we go, quote, let's trick mom and control the bidet from outside the bathroom with the remote, unquote. Is that even a misconception? I mean, that doesn't even make sense. Like, really? That's number 9 on the list?
Maybe they, like us, are trying to inject some humor into things.
Hmm. Okay. All right. Well, you kind of ruined my flow. Like, I was trying to make fun of that, and yeah, that makes total sense, and... Yeah, well, that's what happens when it's 4:30 in the morning and you're giggling about top 10 misconceptions about bidets article and trying to take it seriously. Right, okay. Well, that's a good point. I hadn't considered that. And Brondell, hats off to you. It was funny.
Okay.
6 hours later when it was pointed out to me by my co-host, the other dude.
That's why I'm here, just to try to get you back on track and, you know, the usual stuff.
I do miss things sometimes. Okay, we've come to the end of the show, but I have a programming note. Programming note, alert, programming note.
Okay.
Station owner Jim Henderson is nothing if not a community man. I think we all know that. And thusly and forthwith, he is sending me, Ruben Truthmaker, on assignment to the Sandwich Islands. to butterfly effect up some wave action so we can get this here Mavericks Challenge happening in 2018. His idea is if I go out there with my new carbon fiber water wings that I got and start flapping around there in the water off of Hawaii, we can generate some wave action and get that Mavericks contest happening. So while I'm gone, Coastal Windage culture correspondent Libby Streetwise will be sitting in for me. I'll try to call in.
Great.
But, you know, it's hard working over there in Hawaii.
It is. So, it's a difficult assignment.
But Jim is on me. I got to fill out my timesheets and make sure I'm doing all the Coastal Windage work over there and splashing around. And if we do get the Mavericks Surf Contest, you've got Coastal Windage and Jim Henderson to thank. So until next Friday, when it will be Libby Streetwise and the other dude, this is Coastal Windage, the Coastside's only live call-in talk radio show, the talk of the coast, Coastal Windage.